area of discomfort for me.
Perfect beginning right there. Welcome to the Discomfort Inn. With me always is Stash Makita. Hi, Stash.
Hey, guys.
I'm Pat Oates. With us is comedian extraordinaire Dave Hintz.
I beg to differ.
Yeah.
Oh, David Hintz, sorry. My apologies. You know him from his Facebook name, David Hintz.
Yeah.
I call him comedian mediocre air.
That's a hell of a compliment.
As long as you've got as long as you've got some air. And that was that made me feel uncomfortable. And that leads us to our topic this week. Confrontation. Stash really throwing it right in Dave's face what he thinks about him.
Yeah, I figured I'd give us an audible example of our topic.
To be honest, I think Stash forgot what the podcast was about. He just hates David, and that's fine. But, first of all, real quick, last week, got a lot of good feedback for the greetings one. John Wolfer, I thought, did a good job.
Hell yeah.
A lot of people do agree that you, with the public display of affection part, we were talking about how the woman should take the lead, because a guy can always seem creepier.
Yeah.
When he takes the public display of affection lead. You know what I mean? Like, we were talking about last week, Dave, like, when dating someone, and you meet up somewhere together, do couples normally have the... Do they always do the same thing? Do they, since if you live together, do they still have to kiss and hug or whatever when they see each other every fucking time? Or can they not do that? And I always said, because I always date people so much younger than me, that I have to make sure they take the lead. Because people are looking at us like, oh, that girl and her dad are having a good time. Like, so I have to make sure she takes the lead on that one. But this week, it's about confrontation, how it makes us feel. When we're confronted, when we are confronting, when we know, when we witness it, and in the aftermath, all those kind of things there. So first of all, Stash, I know you pretty well. I know, and I would assume by knowing you well that you are not a man who looks for nor enjoys confrontation in any way.
No, I will go out of my way to avoid confrontation at all costs.
Now, Dave, I think that people don't know you because of your dapperness and your care of hygiene in your dancing, that people would think, no, you are not confrontational. But I know that deep down in you, when you need to, you can stand up for your rights. I think you have some confrontation. I think you'd rather go down the path of a gentleman, but you will verbally fisticuff it up when you need to.
If I can't see myself getting, like, I'm not going to pick fights because I'm going to lose them real quick, but... If I have to, I will do, like Stash, I'll do everything I can to avoid confrontation because I really am a huge wimp. But,
Well, see, I think that's the problem. I think when I started thinking about this, that comes with the confrontation. I think a lot of people, when they think confrontation, they think it has to end in physical. And I think that's where your best confronting type people, your biggest aggressors win, because most people that are aggressive are usually people that don't want to fight, whose bark is way better than their bite, and they never think of the bite. They're just so used to being able to yell at you so much that you just give in and get in your face and demand things that you just give in. So I don't think it has anything to do with the wimp part.
Part of it, for me, the big thing, like, I have a lot of older brothers, so I know I can take a beating, but I also know I don't like it.
Yeah, see, once again, you're getting to physical. I think when we're talking about confrontation, you have to keep in mind that we're not looking at this. Listen, the most confrontation I've had at grocery stores is with a woman, and we're not fighting afterwards.
Yeah, I'm more scared of being browbeaten by some old lady at a grocery store, like you say, than actually getting beat up at a bar or something like that. I just... Yeah, I don't like people yelling at me.
Me too. Dude, I just spent the last 5 hours of my day getting yelled at in Spanish by a Cuban woman. And
you were yelled at in Cuban.
It was yelled at in Cuban Spanish. Which,
see, when you change it to Spanish and Cuban woman, then it turns me on.
Well, but not in a good way. It was all
Stash knows how he got turned on. Do not tell him it wasn't in a good way. Anyway's a good way.
Yeah, dude.
So wait, okay, so you got yelled at, but was it Was it just someone yelling out loud, but no, was it a confrontation? Because to me, there's a difference. Me just shouting, hey, you piece of shit, that's not confrontation. Going up to me, confrontation has to come from a... It doesn't always have to come from a place of like real meaning, but it has to come from somebody saying, I need to have something said to you in a way that you need to freaking hear me. Like that's what it is. It's not just someone just yelling out, you're a dickhead. It's going into your face and saying, I do not like the cut of your jib, sir.
This was... So my
jib cutters.
Right now, my day job is I'm waiting tables at a Cuban restaurant.
And makes perfect sense.
The head chef was having a stressful day, and the way she takes that stress out is by making sure that I know that I'm doing things wrong, like the way I open the door, which is what I got yelled at for today.
Maybe open the door better next time, dude.
And that's all I can say is that's it.
There's a restaurant style of opening the door, man. You got to yell, let people know that you're coming through. Make sure you open the right one because one's an in, one's an out.
We only have one door, man.
That's a terrible
restaurant.
There's
one door. No, the restaurant's good. Kitchen, the door sucks.
Kitchens are supposed to have two doors, one for going in, one going out.
I got nothing on that.
That isn't a rule at all. Most restaurants I've gone to, you always leave out.
For
fire hazard, they have a back door, but you can't send.
For
anyone that's going to get mad at this now, I'm sorry. You can't, as a white Dave Hinz, what the fuck he looks like, you can't send somebody of minority to the back door. You can't, because it means you're going to the kitchen.
The double swingy doors, not a front.
It's still
and back.
The same door.
It's just not. It's not a big enough place for that. So everybody's going to the same place, and it's just you.
Is it the Cuban restaurant we did the roast of Jesus that time? Dude. Oh, that place does have good food.
Yeah,
I'm about to confront the both of you on how to keep on topic. and see, you both. Here's what I didn't know about me. I guess people think I'm very confrontational. And weirdly intimidating. I don't think that, but I've learned that from a lot of people that they would say right away that I have this, even before I say anything, confrontational face.
You have a loud and strong voice, which...
I'm mumbling the whole time.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. For everyone, for anyone who's got any sort of a confrontation, anyone who sounds like a grown-up, and like to me, you sound like an adult. I'm like, oh, I gotta...
I'm an adult, Dave. I'm in trouble. You don't sound like a kid.
Yeah, but I don't feel like an adult. I spend 90% of my day thinking like someone's going to yell at me, and if I just keep my head down, I'll be all right.
Yeah, that's how I make every decision in my life.
Okay. Right?
That makes sense, because I think about, I better tell that guy to cut the shit. That's like my first thought.
That's
like with most things.
I think about that guy better not tell me to talk to cut the shit. I hope that guy doesn't tell me to cut the shit.
I do that. And I've actually found out that I'm not really confrontational for me, but I'm definitely the guy who will say, like, if Dave was like, hey, this one guy's being at, like, you need me to talk to him? I'm that guy. I've never thought I'd be that guy. My dad was that guy, and now I'm definitely, you need me to talk to him? Because on the phone confrontation, I don't lose.
So my version of that kind of, like, being there for someone is if someone's like, oh, that guy's yelling at me, you want me to go and let him yell at me instead? Like, that's how I deal with that.
Yeah. I would yell at him for you instead.
Thank you.
And then I'd say, get him. And then he'd beat the fuck out of you. Now, you were in the world of dance.
Yeah.
Those are, you're with Latinos, you're with passionate people.
Yeah.
Guys trying to cut in when you're dancing with a lady.
All right, on the dance floor, it's different.
It's not. Get out of here. It's not footloose.
When he throws down the gauntlet and starts serving
motherfuckers. No, that's the thing. Is a confrontation with Dave... Like you got served. Is it like, do you confront with dance? Like, I will see you on the floor.
Maybe it's all about your element. On the dance floor, I don't take shit from no one.
Which is double negative, so you do.
Yeah.
Don't bring that shit around here, Dave. We talk right here.
Damn, he's confronting you about your grammar right now, dude.
He's editing my language.
I'm not editing your language. I'm editing our language.
You don't take shit from anyone, Mr. Hintz.
I'll take cocky from anyone. Since you're a child and I'm an adult. But I don't think I like confrontation, but I do tend to have it a lot. Because people also look at me and right away feel like that's the guy we should yell at too. I get it a lot. Because I think it's, I mean, I don't think I look intimidating, but people look at me and go, oh, I need to go at that guy that way. I've seen people deal with you, and they're like, oh, excuse me. So they're like, get out of my way to me. It's almost like they have to be gruff with me.
So I always got the impression that I'm easy to yell at. So that's why yeah. I get it a lot.
Yeah, Dave.
Yeah, see? Thanks. Thanks for, I knew it.
I remember one time, Pat, a guy yelled at you because me and comedian Dan Cowhite bombed on a show, and he decided to come up to you and yell at you for it.
He said, that guy said to me, I've seen you perform better. I've seen you perform before, and you're good, and I just heard those are your friends. What the fuck? Why would you think they're okay? I guess you're no fucking good. And this is right before, this is the first show ever at Dante's. So right before I'm about to go on stage, I turn and go, you want to go fucking outside? So
yeah.
And I'm like, you don't yell at my friends. And I'm like, well, Cowhite can handle himself. What the fuck? Like, what am I doing? Like, I don't know if Cowhite can handle himself. He looks like he could handle himself. But I don't think he'd want to. Dan's a big guy who yeah. I'm sure doesn't want confrontation ever either.
Yeah.
No.
He's a soft.
He could take a pounding, though.
Have you seen him take a beating?
No, but all his fight stories are of him getting the shit kicked out of him. But, like, in, like, a big, clumsy, giant way where these guys are hitting him and it's not really doing much damage to him, but it's hurting his feelings. Oh.
I like that. Where does it hurt? Right in the pride.
Yeah.
I sprained my pride. So, it's not... I think it's in my nature. My dad was very confrontational. My dad is somebody who's always... Every job was a... I think sometimes job... What if your confrontation or not, it dictates what kind of job you have. I think like I've any job I've ever had, at one point they decided to make me the manager of anywhere I've ever worked.
I've never had that problem.
And then because I think it is because I don't have an issue going up to someone and saying, you're doing this wrong.
Yeah.
I don't have to, I don't need to go, hey, you know, and we were, oh, I don't want to upset them. Like, no, I'm focused on text. And I do that with comedy too. And I take over shows and I've caught myself doing that. Like, hey, dude, don't go fucking over your time. And then people don't do this. Or, you know, better call me. Or even the bookers, like, you better put this here or that. That's because I'm not going to not speak up when I know I need something done. And yeah. I think that's in my nature. So I don't ever think of that as confrontational. I think that just as a way of getting things. I think when you are confrontational, you don't realize you are until you realize, oh, yeah, I'm always getting what I want.
Yeah, I had a confrontation. Man, maybe I do get in confrontations because you saying that reminded me, I guess in the right environment, because I did a show recently where the guy who put on the show, where it was like there was a bunch, it was like standing room only and no one was herding them off into a better place to stand. There was people standing right in front of the stage before we started. And I just went up to the booker of the show just like, hey, man, you want to get these people out from in front of the fucking stage and do something with them? And then like there was people coming in and he was out smoking a cigarette instead of collecting money from them. And we were all supposed to split the door. And I was like, man, you got to get on that door or whatever. So, I mean... In that environment,
and you didn't go up to someone else and go, hey, someone should say something. You took the stand and you went up to him and said something.
Yeah.
Now, did you say it the way you just said it to us, with the swearing involved and things like that, or was it like, hey, man, do you think maybe you want help with the door, or how'd you do it?
It was more like coaching, like, hey, you should probably get in there and get those people.
I don't know
out of
if
the
that's
way.
Truly confronting. I think you were problem solving.
Yeah.
And helping. Like I would have said. Seriously? Like, you're not going to sit anyone down? Like, I did that to Paul Gregory and I was doing my special. I was like, we're all just going to stand and watch people not know where to sit? And I go, should I grab chairs? But I say it in that way, like, not I'm helping you. I'm like, hey, I'm the headliner. Do I need to do everything?
Yeah.
And that gets me in a lot of trouble because a lot of people, I'm dealing with people that are afraid of my confrontation. And then they go, oh, please, yes, please. And the next thing I know, I'm doing everything because they're afraid.
But, yeah, I find, like, that going at people like that, and I learned this from, I've also been the manager at a lot of places. I find that confronting like that ends up with a lot of people getting frozen and confused, whereas going at it where you're more like a coach will make them productive.
Now, when I was managing places, I always managed individuals, not groups. I didn't ever like a manager that would be like, well, I yell at everyone or I'm nice to everyone. No, I would go, oh, Stosh works better. When I go, hey, buddy, do this and that, whatever.
Yeah.
But Dave might work better. I'm like, hey, man, I put fire under his ass, and then he works. You find each person how they work, and you work that way. But if somebody was being – if I had an employee, Like I had one time who I kept every time I had my back, I knew for a fact was saying like, well, I'll listen to Pat. I know the owner. It was this guy Steve at Joker's Wild that was a douchebag. He was a moron. He was a drug addict, and then he stopped doing drugs. And he started just running a tab at the bakery down the street, and the bakery called us one day and said, "Hey, your waiter has like $100 tab." I'm like, "Aren't you a bakery?" He's like, "I'm like, you have a fucking tab at a bakery?" And I went in the back to tell him like, "We can't get phone calls like this. I'm like, we don't owe the money."
Yeah.
What the hell? And I go in the back, and he was talking shit about me, and got quiet. So I said, "Do you want a fucking job?" And he goes, "Pat, there's people out there. You think I care?" And I opened the door and I started yelling more. I'm like, "Everyone, this guy sucks and don't tip him." And then I closed the door and then I also put him against the wall a little bit with a throat hold because he said, "You won't do anything." I did it. Then he called the Dom.
Yeah.
And then he said, "Dom." And he told the whole thing. And then he goes, "Hold on a second." And Dom gave me the phone and goes, "Yeah, we can see on the camera. Keep choking him." And then he goes, "Give him the phone back." And then he gave him the phone back. And he goes, "All right. All right, Dom. Okay." And he goes, "Sorry, Dom said I have to be sorry." So, when I need to be, when I manage, it's fine. But I have no problem telling someone. I don't like to go to the physical. That's just I hated that kid. See, but when I need to have something said, I will say it. For the most part,
I don't like being in charge because I know that that's part of it. Like, if there's an idea of giving me responsibility so that I have to talk to people and manage them, I clam right up. It's just I don't want to do it.
I know I'm that, okay, and I've always hated this person, but I know I'm this person. I know in my mind that I know the right way and most people don't.
Yeah.
And that, I think that's where confrontation comes from a lot. My ex-mother-in-law,
Mensa.
She was that way. Well, now she's rest in Mensa. But she would always be that way. She was the kind of person that would just tell you you did everything wrong. Like if you drank that coffee, she's like, "Well, you really should have the other kind of top, not that kind of top with a little hole. You should have the other top." And you're like, "Well, the coffee's fine." "Well, that's not, if you want to drink it that way, it's fine." It's like, but if I brought the other top the next day, she'd go, "You should have the kind of top that has the tab." And I'm like, "You told me." Like, "No, I didn't." It was just she had to do that. And then a lot of times, and I would look around at the family like, "What the fuck? Why are you guys letting this happen?" But you realize throughout their life, they got tired of it and just let her be right all the time. And then it creates a bigger monster. A lot of these confrontation monsters we see out there, the ones that come up to you at a grocery store and just start yelling at you
because mm-hmm.
they're like, you can't take the last butter. I want the butter. It's like, I'm buying groceries. Like, I don't know you. I'm buying this. Well, I wanted that thing. And they think you're supposed to give in. And then when I'm me and I also don't give in and you get two confrontation bulls hitting each other, then it becomes like a thing in a store. You know, when people are looking around, you're like fighting for that. And I'll fight with them, even if I don't want the butter. I'll take the butter and then go put it in another aisle. I don't even care anymore.
I'll yell help.
And then I show up and I'm like, "There you go."
I don't care if it's an old lady. If somebody starts coming at my butter, I'll be like, "Help! Help!"
But that's the thing. Like, I don't ever want to be in charge, but I think I get put in charge because of my confrontational nature of me just out loud saying this. Everyone goes, "Oh, but he knows what's going on," and also he doesn't take any shit. And good, now we can. Also, owners like me because they can just go, "Well, Pat's the bad guy."
It takes a lot to get me to, and usually it's for someone else. Like I'll eat a lot of shit before I let it get. Like before I let it like.
So if someone's confronting you. If someone gets in your face.
Like if someone's in my face.
You'll just cower and you'll go.
I really am, dude. Like I am remarkably hard to catch and very difficult to hit. And those are skills that I've built like over a lifetime. So that's always my default is catch me, whatever.
Now does it depend? I think confrontation comes in two ways. There is one that comes from a real place. Someone's confronting you because they feel like they were hurt. "I can't believe, Stosh, you did this. You son of a bitch. Get in your face." And you know, it's like, you are going around saying all these things, and I can't believe you're fucking saying this shit. That kind of confrontation coming from a real place. Now, if someone just goes
like emotional confrontation, like, right. like hurt. Like,
there's either awesome coming from a real place or just out of that left field guy just yelling at you, like, "I wanted that parking spot." That shit. There's a difference.
If we're doing like emotional crying confrontation, I am so good at that. Bring it. Like,
well, I'll mean crying.
Just when people are like, when you can see the eyes get misty, I'm like, oh yeah.
Yeah, but they're losing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you, what do you mean? You like watching it?
Or being involved in it. Like, I know it's coming, I know I'm going to...
You're yelling at them and making them
not
cry?
Not yelling. No. Not like a yelling, like, I hate you. Like, a softer emotional, like, someone wants to talk to you and they do the... And but the eyes not, start to go.
Okay, so, yeah, like, see, is that confrontation?
It can be.
Is someone going up to you and like, I can't believe you hurt me? Is that considered confrontation?
I think that's confrontation for sure.
I always think anger is in that. I think that's usually someone coming to you like, just like a bitch.
That's where I shine.
It's
I
confronting
know that
someone about their behavior.
Yes, I can't believe that you don't listen to my feelings. I'm like, stop shaking, Michael J. Fox. Like, I would just yell at my wife, cut it out. Now, someone yells at me. When I confront, I have my loud enough voice, as you said. Thank you, Dave, Dick. And then my adult voice comes in, and I confront someone. But when someone confronts me, I don't anger yell back. I do that bullshit thing that everyone hates where I'm like, yeah. I understand what you're saying. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, you're a genius. Yeah, you're right. All that stuff you just said about how like I should wear a different shirt, that's all I'll think about for the rest of my life because you're very important. How smart you are. This genius. You know, you can figure out my life, but you can't figure out how to find your neck, you fuck. Like, that's how I do it. I talk back.
You crowd work them.
Yeah, without a doubt. I don't crowd work. I'm confronting an audience. That's what I'm doing. I'm just getting mad at all of them.
I do that in my head, but the words that come out are like, yeah, you're probably right.
When someone confronts me from a place of emotion, I give them the benefit of the doubt that they are having issues in their own head that doesn't have anything really to do with me. Because most times when someone confronts, I sit there, I pull back now and go, they're worked up in their life about something, and more times than not, they're just using me as a verbal punching bag and are upset. Even if it has something to do about me in the sense of like, you know, you did this thing and you know that I hate when this is said to me, there's deeper roots than that thing. You know what I mean? I usually let that go. But if someone just comes up to me and just like, how come you get that comedy show and I don't? I should get that show. And then I just let them know why they should never have anything.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that would be...
See, are you someone that if someone said to you, if how somebody come you said, get that stuff? I should get... Do you go, I don't know, man. Like, I guess it's just the breaks. Are you that guy?
No, because I have enough confidence in comedy now where I would probably do the same thing as you and just break them down in that moment. That's like
I'm better than you.
One that's of the few say, oh, areas where
over and over, I'm better than you.
Yeah,
remember that part where I'm better? Remember the show where you did 5 minutes and I did the rest of the minutes? Remember that show? Where you shined in that five when they got the poop? I could have done the five. I could have said to the booker, "Let me do his five, send him home." And they would have. You fuck. Like that. That's what I do.
Yeah. Now that I'm starting to get more time on shows and having good results, and it's just like, I won't put up with anyone saying some shit like that to me, especially if they're not like even close to as experienced. No.
Now, I don't think confrontation always comes from believing in yourself, though. I think most times people that are just chronic confronters don't believe in themselves.
But I don't think I can confront without belief in myself, if that makes sense.
No.
That
makes sense, yeah. You only confront with passion.
Yeah.
You have something has to be true to you, and you have to believe in it for you to speak up. You couldn't just go up to someone for no fucking reason and just start barking.
Yeah.
Like, we know a lot of comics like that who will just start... Like, and I don't give a shit if you thought... There's a comic, and I like the guy, and you know him too, but Rob Santos was a guy for a while that would just come up to people and say, well, you're getting this because you get this and this, and he would just kind of like, almost like complain to you, but about you. He's like, you know, hey, man, you know how, you know, it's messed up that you get all this work and I don't get all this work, and you're like, he has no issue. And he's not, in my mind... doing that to be a dick to you, but he just communicates in confrontation. And Darren Seacrest, another comic we know, he'll do it more in a, oh, so, I mean, he's passive-aggressive, but he's confronting all the time. Like, oh, so, I mean, I guess this person doesn't know I exist. They must just want you because they don't know I'm around, but, like...
He'll hide in a layer of sarcasm, but he means it.
He means 100%. 100%.
He means it.
And I know a lot of people like that. Now, I don't like being that way. I don't pull any punch. Now, I don't get mad at those things anymore. Because when it comes... See, comedy is a different thing. We can all talk about that thing. But, like, if it's something else, like... I don't, if someone's upset at me because of something I did, if they said to me, Pat, I heard that on their podcast you were talking about me, and that really pisses me off. You shouldn't be going on there and saying bad things about me without me, you know, defend myself. I understand why they're saying something to me, but I won't turn and go, I'm sorry. I'll go, yeah, it's just because you weren't there. I'm happy you heard it. You hope you listen to that shit. That shit's real. Yeah. I said, I'm not hiding behind what I'm saying here. So sometimes I get in trouble for things like this when I'll say, things you both are like, oh, we're not just all doing names. But like, that's me. And I don't think it's confrontation. I don't think it's confrontation. I think it's just me saying what the fuck happened.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, you can't do that. I'm like, yeah, I think that's the people that make confrontation worse. The little cowardly people like that go around sniping. And not, I'd rather just go up to you and go, Dave, yesterday you said you were going to be here at 6 o'clock and you showed up at 6:45 and you didn't fucking even say shit about it. And it's bullshit because now I was late to this thing, whatever. I'd rather just say to you than not say anything. And then it kind of builds up and we're talking, whatever. And 2 weeks later, I'm like, you're like, what's wrong? Dave, Pat, I thought we were going to chat the other day and we didn't. And I'm like, it's nothing. And then like a month later, you hear from someone else that Pat's a little pissed off because I guess you fucked him over. It becomes this bigger thing because I snowball in my dumb head instead of just going up to you, getting out of the way. Agreed. You say, hey, man, I'm sorry, but you know what? Get a car. You're 44. And I'm like, all right, fair. A little harsh, but okay. I have an adult voice. And then it was fine. And then I'd be done with it. I'd rather do that. I'd rather just look at someone right in the eyes and rip Band-Aids off with each other than sit there and just go and kind of go. So that's why I am confrontational. Like, I'm talking, Dave. And went,
suck it, Hints. Yeah, I would love to get to that point. I mean, it's something that I'm trying to get better at. But yeah, I've seen you do that a million times.
Well, see, the thing you wanted to bring up, we'll do it because I want to get to it. I don't think that was confrontation. Now,
what was the thing I wanted to bring up?
The Joker's Wild Gary Alexis incident.
Oh, man, I remember that.
You messaged me and said, can we talk about that?
Oh, I don't remember that at all.
I remember talking to you right after that.
Because you don't remember? When we talked about confrontation, you said, as long as you can bring this up.
Yeah, I don't remember saying that at all, but I believe you because that was a good confrontation.
See, but that... Okay, where that came from was... I don't think everyone knows exactly what happened. Gary Alexis was a comic, and now he's a criminal, and which is a lot of...
Well, he was a criminal, too, but now he's a caught criminal, an incarcerated one.
Yes. He was at an open mic. Gary Alexis, Haitian descent.
Yes.
Was at an open mic, sitting in the back, and there was a comic... What was he? Sort of the Z, whatever.
Andrew Zajac.
Zajac, or something like that, yes. And he was on stage, and he would do... He's a white kid, a little pretty little kid, and he would do his jokes, and he would say the N-word once or twice. And it was supposed to be like ironic, whatever, and he did that.
Yeah, he was quoting something that that Gary Alexis said to him the week before.
Right.
Which had the N-word in it. He shouldn't have said it.
But he was saying it on stage, whatever. Gary was sitting in the back. And when he said it, I could see Gary sitting in the back and starting to ball his fists up.
Yeah.
And I'm not, like I said, maybe this part you think is confrontational, but I was in a role. I was hosting the mic and managing the club at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I was trying to avoid a confrontation and trying to defuse it myself by walking over to Gary and say, hey, man, let it go. I'll speak to him. You know, let it go. And he's like, nah, nah. That's all he said. And he kept staring forward. I'm like, Gary, just relax, calm down. And he's like, he acted like I wasn't talking now. And I'm an inch from him. And I'm like, Gary, calm down. You're not going to go up to him. And he starts like mumbling his breath. And then he goes, he's like, fuck you, Pat. And I go, well, first of all, no offense, but you're Haitian. That word doesn't work for you. And then that was probably the wrong thing to say. But I thought that was an American one, that word. Isn't that word for Haitians?
I'm pretty sure a lot of Haitians have been called that word before.
Yeah, but they get their own. Whatever. So I was like, anyway. I was trying to say something to make him go, ha, 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 whatever.
Yeah.
But he just goes, and he's like, you know what, Pat? Fuck you then. And then came right at me. And this, and all of a sudden, everybody in the back turns around because he stands up and says, there's a problem with me. So, I mean, I just grabbed him by his neck and pushed him against the wall and held him there.
Yeah. I remember this vividly because I hear a commotion, and all I hear is you saying, are you done? Are you done? Yeah. And I look over, and Gary Alexis is in the air.
That's a bad impression of
it's
me.
It's not bad.
Are you done? I sound better than that. Are you done?
Yeah, I mean, that was before I even worked there, but I remember before it got too crazy, I just put my glasses down on the bar and ran over and helped hold him in the corner until he calmed down. Just mainly for his...
I did not help.
No, Andy and Stosh came over, and I... To be fair, and I don't want this to come off like I'm some tough guy, because I got him against the wall thing, and he kept talking shit while he was up against the wall thing. And I did move my thumb to his Adam's apple to stop him from talking. That's all I did. But this was a couple years ago. I was drinking. I was pretty heavy. I wasn't in great shape. My arm muscles started to cramp. So at one point, as I'm holding him, Andy's like, let go. And I go, I can't. I looked at Andy. Like, I literally couldn't. It wasn't even being a dick. I could. And he goes, and then so when I let go of Gary, he goes, he's been choked in front of everyone. I guess he's obviously upset, so he's going to try to fight back. So then he stops there and goes, let's go outside. And I go, absolutely not. And he goes, what? And I go, and Andy goes, yeah. And Gary, you got to leave. He goes, Pat should leave. I go, I work here. No.
Yeah.
I win. And I'm going on stage to bring up the next comic. And I walked up and said, hey, everybody. It's like, next comic. And he's outside waiting, whatever. I guess that is confrontational. But I was trying to stop.
Well, it was him confronting, him wanting to confront.
I tried to defuse something
comic,
and made it worse.
And he ended up confronting you instead. He transferred it to you as you were trying to calm down. So he basically confronted you.
And I would have rather it happened to me because I ran the place rather than it become like. I think it became a guy who runs the place dealing with a customer, even though he was an open micer and still a customer in reality, than two people having what could end up being like a racial war and the cops being involved.
Yeah.
That's what I was trying to do. But I guess in my I was becoming confrontational because I was like, I'll defuse it. I know better.
I think that's the same reason that I got involved is because I knew at that time that was like the best open mic we had, and I knew how close you were to pulling the plug on it all the time because it wasn't really making money. So it was like, oh, let's try and stop this before it turns into something that's going to get the mic shut down.
Now, okay. Now, you both were there and saw that. Mm-hmm. And this is a good transition to this. When you witness confrontation, when I first see two people getting in each other's face, I don't know about the physical part that happened afterwards. When I see two people getting heated, I naturally stop and watch. I love to watch two people yell at each other. I saw a guy yell something today, actually. It wasn't really confrontation, but it could have been. I was walking home from the gym, and behind the gym, there's like a dumpster, and there was a fencing company there. It was like three guys, and they were building a fence around a dumpster, which is not the best job. But another guy who was leaving the gym drove by, and he just yelled. I'm guessing he knew them, but if he didn't, it was great. He just yelled out loud. He just goes, doing the important work, huh? And the guy he's turning goes, why don't you turn around when you say that? But the guy goes, he's in a car, and he just drove away. Like, if he turned around, I would have stayed right there. And even if I've been enough where I've stood there and watched two people arguing. They both stop their arguing and turn to me and go like, get out of here. And I'm like, no way.
As soon as
not until you're done.
I'll watch whatever's going on, but as soon as one of them makes eye contact with me, I'm in to win it.
I'm in the watch. But I can watch, but when you see somebody, do you like that? Do you like watching confrontation or does it make you feel uncomfortable?
If I'm from a far enough distance, hell yeah, dude. But I'll pull out my phone and record it.
Like when I remember in high school when people when they chant fight and it was almost never a fight. It was going to be two people saying fucked up shit to each other.
Yeah.
I was all about that. I actually would throw out my own. I'd yell some stuff like, say this, and try to help. I love that.
Yeah, I used to love instigating fights in high school.
I would always instigate. I guess I would a little bit, manipulate a little bit. But I loved watching two people yell because sometimes one guy wants something good. You're like, ooh. And then one guy says some dumb shit. Like, your shoes stink. And you're like, whatever.
Yeah.
And like, you're bad at this. Watched me do that, do you guys feel differently about someone after you see them become confrontational? Does your opinion change them?
No, not
mine does.
What I remember specifically about that incident was, I don't remember if it was right after or like the next week, I asked you about it. Because I don't know what opinion I had in my head, but I figured this was going to be, I said, so I guess we're not going to be seeing Gary around anymore, something like that. And because that's what I thought, like, okay, done. And you were like, nah, man.
I even reached out to him and told him he can come back whenever he wanted to.
Yeah, that. So I guess so, yes. Like I thought, well, if you're going to do this, that then, he's out of here kind of goes with that, right?
Nah.
But.
Because at the end of the day, okay, if he did something, I've banned people from there for being assholes. But it was okay for him to be upset at what was happening. He was hearing something that was a trigger to him, and I understand that. I wanted to calm him down, but he wasn't just, he wasn't mad because some guy was hitting on his girl or somebody took his drink or somebody made fun of his shoes. He was mad because the word we're not allowed to say was said, and he was getting upset at that. And it did have something to do with him. Now, the insult wasn't to him, but it was a quote of him.
Yeah.
I think if the guy just sang a song, because he had a guitar a lot, and just sang a song with the N-word, I think Gary would have got a little upset, but not like he did. So I because of all those factors, I was like, I can't ban him and not ban the other guy. And the other guy's girlfriend was hot, so I was going to let him come in.
I don't remember the other guy at all.
He was from Minnesota.
Yeah. He filmed me doing a feature set and never sent it to me. He moved away and never sent it to me.
Oh, he filmed me at the Bijou and sent it to me, and it was awful. Awful. I was good. The video was off.
Oh, so I guess I'm better off.
You lucked out. But I do feel differently about people when I watch. Like, if I know someone and I watch them, like, flip out on someone. Like, if they're like, I know them just as a regular person, and then one day I'm at a bar or whatever, and they turn and just like, I guess it depends also if alcohol is involved. I think when we're talking about this, I'm talking about sober confrontation. I think when alcohol is involved, that's a different animal because your emotions are fueled, whatever. And I don't know. I think you can do a lot of things on alcohol. I haven't drank in years. So if I'm yelling at you, it's from a place. It's really happening. And I can't blame anything on it when I'm done.
It depends on how well I know the person. Like, if it's someone who I know really well and then they've been, someone gets them to flip and I never saw it coming from them, that they were going to be confrontational, and then they do, I'm like, oh, damn. Like, I've seen that.
But you see that, and then you go, next time you talk to them, you're like, if I say something wrong, they're going to yell. Do you ever feel like that way?
I've gotten, where I work. I'm walking on eggshells, and like, I know it's coming, it's just a matter of when. Like, I got that, like, I have that, like, I don't want to deal with this, but I know it's going to happen. Yes.
You?
I got lost in that.
Okay. You, Dave and I, the three of us, we're just as regular two guys.
Yeah.
One day, we were hanging out, and Dave just comes up to my face and just goes, I can't believe you did this, so-and-so, you asshole, da-da-da-da-da, you motherfucker. And then you find out it's about, like, I looked at his notebook or something, like, trivial and stupid.
Yeah.
The next time you see Dave, do you look at Dave differently?
Yeah, 100%.
Nice. Do you look at me differently because I just took it?
No, because that's something like, what are you going to do, get in a fucking fight over something that dumb?
See, I'm the opposite. I don't look at Dave differently. When I see somebody just take a beating, verbal beating, I'm like, oh, I don't need the fuck. I could do whatever I want to that guy.
Yeah, if somebody came up to me and started yelling at me for something trivial like that, I'd basically ignore him.
See, because I thought you should have got confronted more when you first started doing comedy. Because you would do a fun thing when people would, like, record their sets.
Yeah.
And you would, like, get in front of the camera and say stuff to them and stuff.
Well, after the set finished recording.
Like, I would have gone up to you and like, are you fucking kidding me? I finally got a chance to do 5 minutes, and you're like, hi.
It was after the set finished recording, but I used to turn their camera to me, to my face, and boo them. Like, a lot.
I'm upset that I don't have any of those recordings.
A bunch of people would be like, what the fuck's with Mustache? They asked me. I don't know. I didn't know what you were doing it for. I asked you. You're like, yeah. I thought you did it dirty.
Well, that's hilarious. You get home, you're watching your set or whatever, and then you get a little bonus at the end of me booing you.
I had to get Mo Moose a spot at Comics when I was doing the Run the Ringer show because during a Treehouse showcase, Jimmy Blair was recording him, and then I said, hey, Jimmy, I didn't realize he was recording. And I said, Jimmy goes, recording. I go, oh, who's for Mo? And I went, Mo, you suck. Like, right in the camera, like, boo. And he's like, I need that clip. I'm like, all right, so I got him a spot.
Yeah, that should just be good fun between comics.
No, that's fine. But what I'm saying is, that's all good natured fun.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, if you did that, and then someone came up to you the next week, let's say you did that to me, and I was like, and I don't really know you. Some young, let's say Mike Weiss was there, which, by the way, I miss Mike Weiss. I wish he was around more. But he was trying to record, and he came up to you and said, what the fuck, man? I don't even know you. I was just trying to record a thing, and now you're being like a bully, and you're putting your, and you might think it's funny to boo at the end. I don't have an ability to edit I don't know anything about these fucking videos. And now I get you boo. I'm gonna send this to people, and now it's booing. Why do you have to do that? What about your own dumb shit? You fuck. Why you gotta do that to me? You garden gnome. What the fuck are you doing to me? And then I would sit there and watch that, and you would sit there and take it. And I'm like, oh, that's weird. If Stasha has the ability to go on his video and boo him,
I don't think I would take that.
Well, I think it's an interesting point. The difference between like ignoring it and taking it. Because when you said you'd ignore it,
Stosh can't ignore anything. No, but I mean, Stosh takes everything.
If someone just like
you're a sponge of emotion.
No, I would tell somebody to shut up.
Yeah. You wouldn't ignore.
Shut up and just. I would ignore, not I've, respond I've outside of that.
People. I've had people come and yell at me.
I can see you ignoring something, but the difference between like ignoring to me is like, all right, someone's going off, and you just kind of stone face or you turn away and you let that's going on, and you just don't even acknowledge it. Versus if you're taking it, it's that you let them just bleh all over you, and they're fucking you piece of shit, and you're just like and like you start to slump. You know, and like you can see that everything they're saying is landing. To me, that's taking it. And if I see someone who's taking it, I might feel bad for that person. But yeah, I'll be like, no one should take that. You can't believe you're taking that. What's wrong with you? Versus someone who's ignoring, like, oh, that's funny.
The only time I ever took it, at all, is in relationships. That's the weird thing with me. In a relationship, I had a couple girlfriends who would just every second of the day, you know, if like. And I could have nothing to do with what was wrong. They'd be like, I didn't do well in my class today, because I date children, and like, I didn't do well in class, and that's because yesterday you said to me that you don't think I'll make a great hairdresser, and that stuck in my head. I'm like, I didn't, that wasn't me. Like, whatever, but you thought it when we were sitting there, and so that's my, so what the fuck, now I did bad because of you, and all, and I would just go, all right, up to a point. And then to the point where I realized, oh, I don't care about this person anymore. That's when they would say that, and they're like, it's because you hate me. And I always come back with the, no, I don't hate you, because to hate, you'd have to care. And so I don't care. And that was when I shut down. So the only time I would not ever come back in a confrontation is that. But if I'm not dating you, I'll yell at you. If you yell at me, you're getting yelled at back, or at least a stern talking to. But I don't think, I always thought that people that confront, like the way they say bullies, you know, bullies don't want to be bullied back, whatever type of thing. Yeah. People that confront, when a big fat lady is at Big Y and she's just like yelling about like, you have 13 items. You shouldn't be in this line. You have 13. And I'm like, are you even in line with me? She's like, just walking by being like the Hasselhoff Big Y.
Yeah.
Just pointing shit out. Like, she's like, I'm not to be in line. I understand, because my cousin used to work at a Stop and Shop and she used to run the line. I'm like, what the hell? You have inside knowledge? What are you talking about? Like, that, right there, when she's yelling, everyone else puts their head down or lets her go or comes out of the line. Yeah. I turn and go, count it.
I feel like
I got 12, bitch. Are you kidding me? Count it. And if it is 13, I go, what's happening to you? Where you got to go? You don't look like anyone needs anywhere. Are you going to tell me that you're in a rush? Then don't come to the goddamn store. Stand back there, shut your pie hole, and realize that every second you sit here, your husband's happy because he's not with
you. I'll be like, listen, two of those are Red Baron pizzas. Yeah. And if you have two of the exact same item, that only counts as one.
Only if it's a deal.
Mm.
If it's like a 2 for $5, I believe in that. But if
I believe
just
in that in all situations.
Regular price, no.
You can just buy, if you got 5 Chef Boyardees, that's one, dude.
Wait, if you buy 13 mac and cheese in a little cup, you think you have one item?
Still going in that motherfucking line, dude. I'm still going in that line.
Packaged together.
No.
Yeah. You're an animal.
No, my grandmother told me that when I was a little kid, and I fully believe it to this day.
Well, guess what? I would have walked in line right there, grabbed that mac and cheese, thrown it at you and grandma, and said, count this. Was this one? Is it still one? Is it still one? And I hit you 13 times.
I would have blown green mist in your face like the fucking Great Muda, right,
now
dude.
This is where we went off the beaten path, because Stosh is now into wrestling from the 1980s.
Well, if you're going to start throwing macaroni and cheese around, I'm going to start doing wrestling moves. How about that?
Where's your grandma in all this? Where's your green mist?
She's getting the salt out of the basket like Mr. Okay. Fuji to also throw that in your face.
How many containers of Morton salt does she have? Is it one? Is it two?
I count it as one.
No, that's never. That's no.
Yeah.
No, Dave, fuck you.
I feel like, see, this is how I deal with competition. Okay, yeah, okay.
Yeah, see, you should. No, you can't ask about that right now, Dave. We're trying to do something. The adult voices are trying to do something here. People baby think, voice. Dave has baby voice.
A little. The people that are amazing to me are the people who can not
look,
only can
even
flip.
On here.
What are you talking about?
Look, Stosh, me, hints.
I'm a soft-spoken individual.
Oh, come on,
baby
dude.
Voice. No one's even going to hear you on this.
Your waves ain't even spiking, bro. Are you even talking
Jesus
right now?
Jesus Christ.
Look at Stott. When Stott said bro, that was some, it's like all a right. cock. Look how manly that graph was. Holy all shit. Right.
Fine. What's always what's amazing to me.
Ew, it looked like a whine. You're like, fine. I'm gonna beat the shit out of your voice.
I feel like I should just that's it. That's all I got. I had a story. No, you guys are right. I'm an asshole.
I'm a touch confrontational.
Right now I feel like we tricked Dave Hinz into coming here to call his voice a pussy or whatever.
Dude. Your voice is such a pussy.
I would put your voice in a locker every day and just take its money.
I'm going to give your voice a swirly.
Is that your man voice?
No, that's my pad voice.
That sounds like me when I was 12.
Jesus.
My son's voice is manlier than yours now.
That's fair.
Yeah. He's a big
I mean, he is your son.
Yeah.
He's wrestling now.
By the time he's 20, he's going to sound like he smokes a pack a day of cigarettes.
Yeah, I told him. I said it's going to be great because he's someone that's, you know, he'll stick up for himself once in a while, but he's still, you know, he's still a 13-year-old kid, but he's big for 13, so he's the kind of a gentle giant in a way. And I told him he's got to start making sure he stands up for himself a little bit. But now he's learning, he's taking up wrestling, and I'm like, no one's going to fuck with a big man named Sheamus who wrestles. Like, you're all set. But like,
one of my older brothers, he was one of the co-captains of the wrestling team. He's 100 and he's not even 140 pounds soaking wet.
Oh, it's one of those.
But I wouldn't fuck with him. He's got...
I would. I'd be like, your brother's Dave Hintz.
Dude, here's the thing. He's got the most even temper. He's got the longest fuse of anyone you ever met. But when he snaps, it's fucking nuclear. It's not pretty. That's the kind of person I would never... He terrifies
I had me. That... I had the short fuse for the longest time, and in the last couple of years, with quitting drinking and trying more positive, but it is that the one struggle for me every day is to not snap. Yeah. Like when someone does say something now, I literally have to tell myself, take a breath. I always make myself try to think about what they're going through, and it sounds like a dumb thing, but it makes my mind go off the subject. This person's probably upset because something else happened in their day, or they were broken up with recently, or someone passed in their lives. Something, I never let it be me. So therefore, when they're yelling, I'm like, it's not on me. Now, if it's me, if they're like 100%, it's you and you did this fucking thing. And if I did something wrong, someone confronts me and says, I did something and I was wrong, I will admit to it. Yeah, you're right. I did that wrong, but I'll still do it in a confrontational. Yeah, you're right, but you're still handling this fucking wrong. Just talk to me.
Yeah.
When patient people flip, that's terrifying. Like if someone's just an angry person, like you learn how to deal with it, you learn how to tune it out. But if you hear that someone who's always and always even and always calm,
I used to be that guy for years before therapy, where it was like I would just let things go and let things go and let things go forever until one day I finally hit my boiling point, and then I would say just the worst friendship-ending things I could think that would pop into my head and then not hear from this person for 3 years because it was just scorched earth.
That's outstanding.
No, when I'm confrontational, I go for jugular every time. I don't... I've been in... I guess I've dated girls that would love to argue. Some girls, that was their thing. They had to be negative and they had to argue. Like, that was their thing. And I didn't know that at first, but then when you start dating them and everything is a confrontation, everything is that way, they would be like, you know, this is why you got divorced. And I'd be like, well, this is why every guy leaves you and one of your babies wasn't born. And they're like, okay, you kind of jumped up there a little bit and you went to a different, like, you should have really, we were going tat for tat. You're supposed to save that one for round 10. You know what I mean? We're like, no. I went for the Tyson punch out right there at the beginning. But I think what we're learning from this is that Stosh isn't really a confrontational person per se, but he's not afraid of confrontation if it means something to him. What we're learning with me is that I think confrontation is just the way I talk to people, and I'm just learning that.
Yeah.
Dave's a bitch. Yeah. That's kind of what we're learning.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? The one time where I'm quick to anger was always on stage, especially in the beginning with heckling. Like, that was seeing white. I was so angry and just wanted to.
But did you say anything back or did you just let it go?
No, like I tried to do like the, this is how you have to be professional, this is how you handle it, but it was instant rage. Like I could beat the shit out of you.
I think
right
I got
now.
You beaten instant rage. Stosh has been privy to many times where I'm just doing my act and somebody heckled and then I just lose my mind on them. Yeah. But the funny thing is I'll do it in a way where I don't mean to. People are like, oh, that's hilarious. I'm like, oh, I wasn't being funny.
Yeah.
I'm just really upset at you and teeing off and yelling.
Yeah, you've got a funny mean, which is invaluable.
It came up on my Facebook memories today, years ago, Darren Seacrest again. He goes, great night at Joker's last night. It's always nice when Pat Oates calls you a human cartoon from the stage. I remember when I yelled at him that day because he was talking in the back, and I'm like, you're so important. He's like, you're all snarky. You're like a comic strip. You're like a human cartoon. Like, look at me, my little one-liner. I'm just yelling at him, and then I bring up the next guy. And he's like, something wrong? I'm like, fuck off. It's like
I just had a pretty healthy confrontation a couple weeks ago. I was visiting a friend in the hospital, and
you're like, give me your pudding.
No, the nurse on duty was stressing her out tremendously, and she needed her nighttime pill or whatever. So I went out into the hallway, and I found the nurse, who was a very intimidating Caribbean lady, which Caribbean women have that mean streak to them.
Passion to them.
That scares
fire.
The shit out of me. And I just had to like calmly go up to her and be like, oh yeah, room 391, she needs her nighttime pill. And if another nurse could bring it in there, that'd probably be best for both of you.
But that wasn't really a confrontation. You were standing up for a person that couldn't stand up for themselves. They literally were in a bed and they needed their pills and they were being ignored. I think you were problem solving more than confronting.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you and me have different definitions of confrontation, because it felt like, to me, that's a confrontation. Like, it's something I would avoid at all costs. I wouldn't have done that for myself.
Yeah.
Okay, then maybe it is. I think each person does have their own definition. Like, to me, that's how I just talk. What you said, that's how I order a burger. Just like, hey, you know, maybe you or the other person that works here want to do their job. I just came in here and wanted to enjoy a burger, and that'd be nice. It's like, I didn't realize that you had to go to a different restaurant to get it. I guess it's going to take 3 hours to have a thing I could make on my own very easily. That's how I talk to people.
I'm in the same camp as you, Stosh. Like, it's a thing that if
fuck
I...
Fuck that camp. My camp would beat the shit out of your camp.
If I didn't have to deal with it, I wouldn't. And when I do, it's like, okay. I feel that way. It's something that I have to deal with.
Yeah.
I would already had the pill. I would have just been like, hey, where's my pill? And I keep hitting the thing until I come in, and then they give me the pill. I need the pill. I'm here. I'm not. This isn't a hotel. You're not room service. Bring me the pill. If you were good at it, you'd be a doctor. Now bring me the pill. Now they would bring me a different pill. Like, you wouldn't knock me the fuck out or kill me, but whatever. No, I'm not afraid to ask for what I need.
Yeah.
Because, you know what, though? When I was younger, I was. When I was in, middle school, me was a pushover. I was afraid to speak up. Mm. We joked about it, but once I got this, my voice changed to this.
Why would you not
use it? Well, all of a sudden, I realized people were like, oh, whatever. And also, I learned that, and I also learned that I was pretty quick, that I could say something pretty cutting and hit you right away, right in the jugular. Once I learned I had those superpowers, oh, yeah, then the world was my oyster.
Yeah.
My verbal oyster. But I do feel bad after I confront. I do have that. I know people that don't. If I get heated with someone, I do usually at the end. Now after, I don't always apologize and say I'm wrong. If I'm not wrong, I don't do that. But I try to have a calm conversation, like you said with the Gary thing. I made sure I talked to him the next day. He wasn't gonna take my calls at first. I'm like, no, we are going to speak about. If you want to come back here, you are going to speak to me with this, and we're going. So I'll make sure I get my. Yes, that's a little confrontational too. But we're going to have this talk. But we're at the end of the day, we're gonna make sure that everybody's on the same page. Either we don't speak ever again, you don't come here, or we're all good and water under the bridge. But we're gonna have this talk. So even after I confront, I do make sure I clean up and I come in and I make sure it's all covered afterwards.
Dude, it's way better if you can be the one who steers the conference. Whatever that means.
I steer everything except for a car. It's the one thing I don't steer.
My my biggest confrontation right now is with a cat that bitched me out twice recently. Two times in like the past week and a half, I have kicked a cat off the bed in order to get sexy with a babe. Only to have that cat shit on the floor in protest. Basically bitched me out both times, dude, because there's no coming back from that. You got to stop whatever you're doing and clean up cat shit.
No, you shit in its litter box.
Ooh.
Yeah, there's always a comeback.
You just solved my problem, dude.
There's always a comeback.
Wow. So I'll let you know how that works out next week. I'm going to shit in that cat's litter box.
All right. Anything else on confrontation either one of you want to bring up? You got a fucking problem, Dave?
I was going to say, I had some thoughts, but I didn't want to be. No, it's okay.
I think at the end of the day, I think confrontation is a good thing, because I believe that if everyone sits there and is passive and everyone is afraid to speak up, without the people speaking up, nothing gets done. Confrontational people might seem angry and crazy, but they're the people that get things done, positively or negatively. No, see, things get changed.
I absolutely agree. It's just not one of those. Like, for me, confrontation is it's like doing the right thing. It's one of those things. Like, I know it has to be done, but I fucking want to do it.
And I also think people that are confrontational all the time get a bad rap. Like, we always know from school, we always know that one kid whose mom would sit, you're like, fuck, don't let her find out. And then she would, like Cartman's mom, like she would just show up at a school and be like, and these kids deserve grilled cheese on Tuesday. And they're just yelling in the game. But what happens? You get grilled cheese on Tuesday. So, like, you might hate it, whatever, but then she would yell and do stuff. It's like, kids should be allowed to wear shorts if you're not going to put air conditioners on. And she's doing petitions and yelling. My kid's mom is that way. And not in a bad way, but she's someone, like, when things are going bad, because she used to be a teacher, the one thing that always helps out with the kids is that she's the first one to call to a school and go, oh, you think you know this? Boom, 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 boom. Like, she goes to CVS, they don't have a prescription. I see them making drugs in the back. Like, she'll change them with that kind of stuff right away. Look, and those people get shit done.
The squeaky bitch gets the grilled cheese. That's how it works, dude.
That is the hashtag. That beats last week's space in between us, make room for the penis. We've got new ones every week.
I forgot about that.
That was our hugs.
We're killing the hashtag world.
But so I think confrontation is necessary. It's not. I do feel uncomfortable after, but during and when it's going to happen, I don't feel anything. It feels normal to me. The only time I'm ever uncomfortable with confrontation is when I know that I might have gone too far. But I don't usually.
So how do you know when you go too far?
When they're crying.
For real.
Like, I deal with that a lot.
So what you're saying is basically I should, when you start talking to me, if I just start to tear up, that's the end of the conversation?
No. I'll keep going. I said after, Dave.
I'll do that right away.
Then tomorrow talk to you about the crying. How do you feel about confrontation? Are you, at the end of the day, you try to avoid it at all costs? You think it's necessary in times of passion?
That's how I thought of myself before we started this, but I've come to realize, like, it's just things that I don't give that much of a fuck about. I can't bring myself to be confrontational about, but if something is meaningful to me, then I can do it.
So confrontation has its place in your life.
Well, yeah, for sure.
That's healthy. That's a healthy way to live.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks for the health. What are you, Dr. Phil? Dave, you're going to get your shot.
I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah. Welcome to the discomfort. At the end of the day, how do you feel about confrontation?
At the end of the day, I think, again, to your point, to Stosh's point, I think it's a necessary thing. It's a healthy thing. It can be a healthy thing. It's still one of those things that, like, it's like working out. It's one of those things I know is good for me, but I don't want to do it if I don't have to, you know?
I do it every day, and I take pictures of it. Confrontation and lifting. Both of those things.
So maybe that was a bad analogy.
So I do both. When I yell at someone, I take a picture, and I put it on Facebook. All right.
Flexing the guns and yelling.
Anything you got going on this week or anywhere? Anyone to follow you? Can they follow you on Twitter, Instagram, any of that stuff, Dave?
You can find me on Facebook at David Hintz Comedian. David Hintz Comedy. That's it. No, it's Dave Hintz Comedy.
Yes, it is, because I tagged it today. Thanks, Dave.
You're welcome.
Stosh.
StoshMakita.com for all my comedy dates. And every Wednesday at Brewport in Bridgeport, Connecticut, a fun brewery. I host a trivia there that is really starting to gain popularity. It's a fun time. And I throw some jokes in there, too. So come on out.
Speaking of gaining popularity, my new album came out last week, and it is getting great reviews from people, tons of downloads. It's all on every social media platform, every listening platform you listen to, so Spotify, iTunes, Apple Music, Amazon Music, Google Play, wherever the fuck Deezer is, it's on there.
Ooh.
Yeah, I made these. And then CD Baby, you can also buy it. You can go to my website, paddos.com, to also grab a copy if you want to grab it there as well. My book, How Not to Suck at Comedy, is still selling, going well. I have comedy coaching available there as well. I have two other podcasts. You can on Spotify and iTunes. You can find Pat Oates Is Sad. Make sure you listen to that. Follow it on Spotify or subscribe and review and like and all that fucking shit on iTunes. And then my wrestling podcast, Podcast 316, you can like their fan page on Facebook or follow them on Twitter or Instagram for links there. We thank you guys for staying at the Discomfort Inn.